pray you encounter God through this message. To find out more about our family, visit us online at livingtruth.church.
So if I was one of President Trump's sons, all I would have to do is say what connection I had with the President of the United States, and I do believe that would bring and carry authority. Do you agree with me? So if we look at it on that light, every one of us that is a child of God, an heir of Jesus Christ, every one of us have the ability to use the name of Jesus, and there are things that have to take place because of the authority that's in the name. All right? I had these old songs come to me because I'm old. And I've had people wonder sometimes why when God's given me something, why something old comes. Well, there's reasons for that. But the song, you remember the song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus"? Anybody? It actually starts out with a verse, and it says, "There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth." All right, there's a name I love to hear, but if you look at the words of this, it brings worth. There's value in the name of Jesus. And that's the only verse that came to me, and it's the only verse that I could ever remember singing along with, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." And everybody's heard that chorus if you've ever been around church. But I looked this up, asked my phone for the lyrics of this song, and here's what it came up with. "It tells me." Now, "it" is the name of Jesus. "It tells me of my Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea." And then, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And so what's happening here in this song to me is that there's a man that I love, but there's something beyond that that brings authority and power to my life. Not just that I love him for what he did, but he left me a name that gives me authority. And I think... And I've heard this phrase a lot, and it's sort of got ingrained in me. The American church. And I think the reason we say the American church now is because if we go to China and go to church, it's an underground thing, and there's no politics to it. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his authority. It's all about his power. It's all about his healing. It's all about what comes in the name of Jesus. So the American church, I think, has churched ourselves out of the authority of what we can have that simply comes through a powerful name, Jesus. I've made a lot of trips on mission trips to Mexico. There are a lot of people in Mexico named Jesus, Jesus. But there's no authority that comes with the name. I could walk up to somebody down there and say, "Jesus." And they'll say, "Hey." But I can walk into a place and say, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." And something begins to happen at that moment that doesn't happen when I say Jesus or Jesus to some man-named person. I'm talking about somebody named Jesus that's a God-made man, somebody that was only developed and is the incarnate presence of God Almighty. Then enrobed himself in flesh, came to this earth, and not only offered salvation, but left us with a name and an authority that gives us the power to speak to the enemy, and he has to flee. Are y'all hearing me? I have the authority in the name of Jesus to speak to any sickness and disease, and it has to go. What I have done is I've churched myself out of that. It has become a social meeting place where I come along with my friends. I get to be involved in good worship and good music and sometimes good preaching, and I get to feel good about it and walk out of here, and maybe I can face my world for a week till I can get back and do that again. That's not the design that God had for the church. God left us a name. He left us an authority and a power to walk out into this world, use the name of Jesus for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Okay? So the song went on. And it says, to me, he is so wonderful. Now, I've sung that one before. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. Just to know that Jesus is mine. If I can understand the song and connect it with the scripture and realize that not only am I his, but he is mine. He has given himself to me, and he's asking me to give myself to him. And once those two things happen and collide, there's a power and an authority that I can just walk up and say, Jesus, and my whole world changes. We do not need to forget the authority and the power that he has given us and we have inherited because we are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this morning that the Bible bears out that there is a benefit to being a child of the King? I'm going to give you a bunch of scripture here, so hang in here with me. Acts 4 and 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name. Somebody say, no other name. Under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. I'm telling you, without the name of Jesus, you can't even be saved. Are y'all with me? Philippians 2, therefore God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and even under the earth. That's a powerful name, isn't it? When you think about that, think about if somebody just used this name correctly. Everybody in heaven, everybody on earth, and everybody under the earth would have to fall to their knees. That's how powerful the name of Jesus. And it went on to say that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. John 14, 12, Jesus is speaking here, and he said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask. And what does it say? In my name, so that the Son will bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Well, what in the world is going on if I can ask for something and it does not happen? Anybody have an answer? You don't believe it. Who said that? Is that Mallory? You don't believe it? Or you're not connected to him? There hadn't been that collide that I'm talking about of me and him. Him and me, There's not been a collision of me being his and him being mine. There has not been a collision taking place like what God has planned to take place. If that thing took place, all we would have to do is, in the name of Jesus, I am asking for this, and it has to happen. I'm not talking about asking for $1 million. I'm not talking about asking for something that you don't need. I'm talking about asking for the needs that are in our lives and something necessary to sustain life and something necessary to move forward. I'm telling you, when we speak the name of Jesus, there should be something happen if we've collided with him somewhere along the way. But it takes the encounter. It takes the sonship. It takes the daughtership. It takes an understanding of who he is. It takes an understanding of who I am. If I don't identify my name with the name of Jesus, then there's no collision. There's no connection. There's not what's needed to bring that inheritance into authority. Y'all okay? I know I'm hollering at you a little bit. John 16:17. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Mallory, when you start believing, there's going to be some signs. Am I right? Have you had any signs lately? A healed back on an MRI. What does that mean? Does that mean the back was prayed for, was messed up, and when they did the MRI, it was okay? Perfect. There's a sign that would follow them that believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. In my name, they will speak in new tongues. In my name, they will pick up snakes with their hands. And in my name, if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them at all. In my name, they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Somebody say amen or oh me. James? Me and James hung out. That was James that whooed over there. I've been wondering who was making that sound. James and I hung out a little while on Monday, didn't we? We were up in Springdale, weren't we? We met with somebody up there and had about 2.5 hours of good time there. And then the enemy made the mistake of letting us go to Whataburger. Don't go to a restaurant with James unless you're expecting ministry to happen. He called this the gift of obvious. There was a woman with a cane. It's obvious. She has problems. But when she left there, in my opinion, she didn't have problems anymore. This woman was just barely getting on. James had already mentioned her once while we were eating and talking. And then she got up to leave and he said, I can't let her go. Not with what we carry. Why would we let something like that go when we carry a name that's above every other name? And James doesn't give any room for halfway. All right, what's your pain level? Well, it's about a 6. We'll pray. What's it now? It's about a 4. Then we're not through. What's it now? About a 2. Well, we're not done yet. So you might ought to just go ahead and let it go from 6 or 8 to 0 and get this thing over with. But I watched this woman as she walked to her car, and she's walking holding her cane now, but she still has a little limp. And James isn't letting that go. That's not what the scripture said. Did it not say they will place hands on the sick and they will get well? Come on, somebody. Do you believe in the Word of God or not? But what I saw last was this woman opened the back door of her vehicle. She tossed the cane in. She had already limped up to that point. She tossed the cane. I'm watching closely. I'm just a bystander just watching to see what God's going to do. She tossed the cane in the back seat of the car, and then it was almost like she tripped, and she went back like this. A funny look went on her face, and she started doing this, and she started talking like, there's nothing, I don't feel anything anymore. And then she walked normal. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about that comes in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. James, did you use the name? Sure he did, because there's authority. There's no authority in James. James didn't do that. The only things in James is boldness. To understand that if the Bible says this, then it must be available. If he said I could inherit this, then I've got it. So I can use the name of Jesus. He is not the healer. He's a carrier of the thing that brings the healer, and that's the name of Jesus. Acts 3. This is sort of long, so hang with me. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Do you think he was expecting what he got? Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. I don't have money to give you, but what I have, I give you. In the name. Somebody say in the name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Even Peter and John narrowed it down where nobody could make a mistake of what was going on here. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. James, you might ought to pay attention to this. There's nothing wrong with what you do. But I'm just making a point here and wearing him out about it. Nobody said anything about how you're feeling now. Nobody said, what's the pain level now? These guys said, I don't have what you've been looking for as far as monetary things, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he didn't even stop there. He reached down and grabbed the guy by the hand. Did it say that? Taking him by the right hand. He helped him up. Notice this. The healing, it doesn't look like to me in Scripture, the healing took place until there was help involved. This guy might not have had the belief level enough to be able to rise on his own. But once he was pulled into an upright position, the Bible said instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is not just about healing alone. It's about glorifying God. This is not about glorifying me. This is not about glorifying you. It's not even about glorifying the person that gets healed. It's about God being glorified and the understanding going out that it was God that did what just happened. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, he didn't want to let them go. All the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? I hope that if at the end of this service we call for any sick among us to come and be prayed for, I hope there's not a person in the place surprised when God heals them. I hope there's not a person in the place that gets surprised when certain people walk in here and get saved. I have a feeling there are some people just thought of somebody. Said, man, if I saw him come in here, or if I saw her come in here and give their lives to God, whew, I'd be surprised. Men and women of Living Truth Church, why would that surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by our own power or our own godliness we make something like this happen and this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate. Though he decided to let him go, you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith, in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him. Somebody needs to hear that. Oh, my faith isn't strong enough today. It's in the name and through his faith that has given this complete healing to him, as you can see. Do y'all remember the blind man Bartimaeus? I've talked the second chapter of Acts, the 38th verse. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. How? You sure it's how? In the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's King James. God dealt with me on this all week long. And I'm just going to put a supposition out there for you. You study it for yourself. I believe that people ought to be baptized in water. I think it's a strong thing. Matter of fact, let me put it this way. I've always believed in three baptisms. A baptism of repentance, a baptism of water, and a baptism of the Spirit. I've always believed in those three components that needed to be in our lives. I've always believed that. I've studied baptism. It comes from the Greek word baptizo. And I saw something in that this week that I had not seen before. Do you know what the word overwhelm means? Do you know what the word whelm means? This word baptizo, when I looked it up this week, it talks about submersion. It talks about saturation. But it also just singularly used the word whelm. So whelm is a word that isn't used anymore. We always use overwhelmed or underwhelmed. But the word whelmed is to be in that perfect place of saturation. So when you look at overwhelm, that's, I'm just overcome with this. I'm taking on water now. Underwhelmed, I'm not even hardly touching the water yet. But whelmed is that perfect place to where he saturates us with something. Because of something. So repent is not only turning around and going a different direction, but it's changing your thinking. But when I dug deeper into this verse of Scripture, what I found was the word for the remission of sins was not necessarily used in that passage. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, in response to or because of the remission of sins. When you repent, he has promised that he'll take away your sins. He also promised that he would give you a gift of the Holy Spirit. He promised. This is a promise that he gave. But he said, because of those things, he said, I want you to be whelmed, saturated, submersed in the name of Jesus. Now, this is what I'm going to throw out. I'm not building a doctrine. I'm not saying what's happened in the past is wrong. But it did not actually say in that verse, be baptized in water in the name of Jesus. It said be baptized in the name. So I'm wondering, I'm just a wanderer. I'm wondering today if we could look at that and say, once I've repented, I've been forgiven my sins, I have the gift of the Spirit inside of me, if I would saturate myself with that name that's above every name, let that get down into my core being and saturate every molecule of my being, my body, my mind, my spirit. If it was saturated with the name of Jesus, all I would have to do is walk by, and the shadow of this saturated being passing over somebody would heal them. I think that we have backed away as a church so much from the name of Jesus and how powerful and authoritative that name is, that we no longer apply that name to our lives. We might apply it in baptism in water, but I wonder how much we've applied it in the baptism of ourselves. Putting the name in us so strong that we're when we're identified, we're no longer lost walked. I'm not identified with the fact that I'm lost. I'm not even identified with the fact that I'm saved walk. I'm not identified with those things. I'm identified with Jesus. My identity is all wrapped up in him in such a strong measure that nothing that's not of him can stand to be anywhere around me. We face sin so much, and we walk through a sinful world, and sin has crept into the church, and everything seems to be all right now. That's not really what the word meant. Or you know, even the people that are sinning can find scripture that makes it okay for them to sin. I'm telling you, the world has come into the church, and the church is not really going into the world anymore because we're not taking the name of Jesus into our world. We need to be saturated and authoritatively powered by the name of Jesus, that nothing affects us. We affect everything. That's what God designed the church to be, to go out and affect the world. But the world has been affecting the church. All that stuff has to change, but it only will change when we collide with Jesus and he's in us and we're in him. I'm his, he's mine, and the name of Jesus is imprinted in everything we do. And then when I pray for the sick, they will recover and get well. Y'all all right? Have I rocked anybody's doctrine? I have, but whatever. I know you're not going to admit to it. I'm still going to baptize people. I'm going to use his name. But when am I going to be baptized with his name? a name that's above every other name in the world. And I've been offered that. Am I going to take it? Am I going to let it overtake me and let it be my driving force in the world I live in? That's the question. Stand with me, please. So now that I've spoken so strongly, is there any sick among you? Make your way to the front of the building. And we exercise the name and invoke the name and watch the sickness flee. Anybody? Anybody want that to happen? Anybody have sin in your life? You want that to go? We invoke the name of Jesus, because there's no name under heaven whereby you can be saved. There's no name that can push out sin. There's no name that can push away darkness and turn the light on but Jesus. Anybody want to be that person? Everybody good, everybody well, everybody righteous. I have one that she wants Jesus to be more in charge than ever before. It's in the name. You got it? Anybody else? You want to be brave? Let me put it this way. Is there anybody now, we'll add to this, there's anybody that wants to come up and say, I want to be able to say Jesus over somebody and their situation change? If you're in that group, I want you to come. If I can speak the name of Jesus and stuff changes, I want to be a part of that. I have experienced that. I have experienced it on both sides of life. I've experienced healing where somebody prayed for me and my body was healed. I was healed of a broken bone. It was put back together. I experienced that, but somebody else called the name of Jesus. I've experienced the name of Jesus being called by me and others being healed. But then I've experienced praying for people and they weren't healed. So I want to know, where's the break in all this? What's the deal? So I'm praying this morning for everybody that wants to have this. Whether you need it in your life today for healing or deliverance, or if you just want to be that person that helps make that deliverance take place as a conduit of the powerful name of Jesus, I pray right now that every person with every need, everything that's necessary to empower us to be sons and daughters and to be able to grasp the inheritance that Jesus has left for us, to be empowered with not only His Spirit, but infused with His name. God, I ask right now that that name be used, that You might get glory, God. We want to be healed, we want to be set free, but God, touch our prideful hearts, humble us, give us humility, that never would the case be that somebody would look at us and say, oh, if I could get him to pray. No, if I could just find somebody as a conduit through which the name and the power and the Spirit of God could flow through, let that flow through me right now, God. In the name of Jesus.
we're thankful for what God is doing in your heart. If you would like to give towards revival being established in our region, or you have a testimony of how your life is being changed, please connect with us at livingtruth.church or send email to livingtruthar@gmail.com.